The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from the bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ. Hasten, Lord, that perfect day when pain and death shall cease, and thy just rule shall fill the earth with health and light and peace. When ever blue the sky shall gleam, and ever green the sod, and our rude work deface no more the handiwork of God. Amen. Amen. We have some brilliant words to hymns that sometimes we get lost as we sing them. It's worth hearing again. A month or so ago, my niece turned 40, and it kind of struck me, caught me back a bit, because I remember vividly the day of her birth. I was there, I went to visit my sister, and it was just this big event, and I would have, in part of my mind, that's probably about 10, 15 years ago. Somehow, I haven't really left the 80s somehow or another. But now she's getting ready to have her second child, is all excited. I was there at her wedding, officiating at her wedding. It's just as a part of her that's always been part of my life. "I knew you when you were born, young lady." And now she's not a young lady anymore, but she's just still part of my prayers every day. She's part of my story. And this happens when we know somebody as they grow up and watch them grow up as children, you know, watching you grow up and now start acolyting, and you know, the young people and I remember the Prothero girls, and we watch this. They're part of our own stories. It's important as a reminder that Jeremiah, God knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. The depth of God knowing our very being, knowing us and watching us, and part of our life is part of God's story, God's prayer. We sometimes wander a bit away from that. There was a great moment of wandering away from that. There was a monumental moment that kind of went unnoticed, except by me, this last year in Midcoast, Maine. For many years, I mean, Dorman's Dairy Dream has been a beacon of light and just past the cement flats there. And it was a beacon that was a unique place in many ways because it was never open on Sundays. You know, the man who founded it was a diehard Baptist, a Littlefield Baptist, and it was a family day. This is a day for the Lord, and never open on Sundays. But this year, the grandson opened it on Sundays. And we've lost that kind of, now they're just another ice cream place. It is something about that was, you know, this quaint kind of thing of remembrance of a time when people honored the church was part of people's lives and it was really important. You know, it's kind of been lost to the American culture and ways of the 24/7. I can shop any time of day or night on a computer. I just hook and I buy the book and I get this. And if it doesn't go through, I call up. And why isn't there somebody there to answer the phone at 2 in the morning? we kind of expect this in a different way, our culture. God has been with us all this time, but somehow we drift a little bit away from God, whether it be just the cultural expectation and our desires and our needs, the things we hope for or long for and hold on to, whether it be ideas or wounds or hurts or things or whatever it might be. We have many of them, and slowly we as individuals or we as a culture become more and more crouched over and wounded, and in our woundedness and in our, we get bitter and angry sometimes, or we lash out at others, and somehow this defines us, our limitations and hurts and wounds. And when Jesus meets us again at any point in our life, the healing can be like that. When Jesus says, just rise up, you are healed. Come back to that place. I've known you from the beginning. Come back, return to that place. Return to my prayer that has been with you. Come back to that place. It is such a holy place. And Jesus healing on the Sabbath, we look back at all these people arguing about all these different rules back and forth, and we kind of judge them back there. Ha ha ha. If Jesus were to break the social mores of our culture, we would have the internet coming on him with Twitter response and comments. It would be a hound, boycotts and Yelp reviews. Oh, I can't believe that this was a whatever it might be. You did this, it's a wrong thing to do. The law could come in. This is important to note that we are not much better. We are not much better than the people at the time when Jesus challenging them. Your world is kind of limiting you. What you think is right, and you're holding on to your right and the way and your control of your life, it's not going to work. It begins first with love, caring, and the obvious need of the person next to you who may be ill at this time and needs some help, to pay attention. If there's somebody near you in church that you haven't seen in a long time, call them up. That's so important. Just somehow connecting. How we connect with people is everything. This is the point in which Jesus challenges us. I, this week, getting rather worked up a little bit about the climate. This is, to me, one of probably the largest issues on our planet at this point, is the weather will have a future. That's why I pray for the young people, because it's up to you guys to really take whether this is going to work or not. The greatest generation in this country is those that are young now, what they're going to do. And the news of the Amazon forest burning just was, how can this not be the big story? This is horrible, this is horrible. And at the same time, I'm talking about cutting down, I want 2 trees cut down in my front yard and 2 by my garden so I can have more light on my garden. What is the difference? What is the difference? Oh, I can judge them. They should do this in Brazil. They should keep all their land so I can breathe. We're all guilty. We're all guilty in this. It's not a Democrat or Republican or conservative or this or environmental or not. We're all in the same boat, in the same place, doing the same stuff. The human species, we are all a part of. This is our species. We have all strayed from God's way. This is what the church is all about. Every time we do the confession, I love the me and Jesus. I love the point of coming to God in the personal way. But the confession is not just a confession of, God, I have sinned and I'm sorry for what I have done. We are doing this as a general confession. We have sinned. We have fallen short of your glory. We as a species are not doing well, God. And we all are all part of this. It is easy for me to be upset once I get caught up in a new cycle of something out there that's happening that some other people are doing, but I forget that I am connected. There is no difference. The sin there is a sin here. I can blame a politician, but it begins here. We are the democracy in this country. Any leader comes from us. I love to kind of, whether it be a mayor or a selectman or whatever, get upset about, and I've listened to people in this town. Oh, I can't believe the people running this town. They don't know what they're doing. Well, go to the town meeting. We're all part of this. This is us. This is not them. We are together in this, and we're all liable. It is not something that we get off on. This is all part of what we are clinging to. That I might have more light in my garden, that's what's important. And yet I become more and more crouched over in my sin and holding on to what I think is important for my life, trying to control the light in my world. And God somehow is, in the prayer of God, walking into my world of what's right and wrong, somehow pushing that aside and saying, stand up, Peter, stand up. Let us all stand up and see that the mercy of God is for all of us, that the mercy and healing of God transcends all of us. And as I stand up, so does all people stand up. And as you stand up, all of us, I gain the strength when you are healed. And you as I, we are together in this in all ways. It is essential to know that all of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us have moved ourselves from that place where God knew us before we were even born. But we return again. We return as we sit here in the pews to say, God, hold me again. You've known me before I even have a memory. You have memories, as I know Anna in her first days, in the first beginning to walk, as she started to walk in the world, and as her mother held her. Now she's with her children. I have those memories here. She has no memory of those days. But God knows me when I did not know myself. God knows us when we have lost track of ourself. God knows us when we lose track of ourselves to hold on to a world in which we'll never be. A world of my myth of how I want it to be, how it should be, how others need to be. God holds me and has that memory of how it is in God's eyes. The power of God uniting all life in all things, where there is no distinction, but we are all of a piece of one love. This is the glory of God. My rage and anger at injustice is really an alarm bell for me to come back to God again, because it is the alarm of something going off within my soul, that God has rung the bell clearly, that there's something that is wounding my heart. And when I get healed, justice begins to somehow trickle down to the river that is God's love, where justice and truth and peace meet together in that great river of life. In the midst of a world divided and torn, it is not divided and torn in the eyes of God. How do we see differently? How do we understand differently? This is the grace of God's eyes that we need to see through. This is the way in which we need to move into our own healing, so that when we hear Jesus say to us, rise up and walk, we, like that woman, might have the courage, as she did, to let go of her identity in the pain and suffering in the midst of their community, to stand up and to be seen by others as someone no longer crouched down in pain and wounded, and now is seen as a sign of God's healing grace forever and forever. So too are we called to be the healing grace of God's justice in our own yard. Amen.